Today's daf is Pechet. We're going to start the Mishnah at the bottom of Pei Zayin. Sheva midot shalach hayu b'mikdash. Hin v'chatzi hin, u'shlishit hin, revi'id hin, log v'chatzi log, revi'id log. Okay, you can look at the sheets. Okay, so we're going to see that there was a, see later, the Gemara is going to tell us that there was a masoret, that there were seven types of liquid measurements. As you can see from the sheet on the chart, there's a whole debate about what exactly the seven were. According to the Mishnah, these are them. Okay, hin, which is 12 log. Okay, a log is approximately 300 to 500 milliliters. Okay, so if you look, I brought some measuring cups for two purposes today. But 300 to 500 milliliters is between a little more than a cup to two cups.
And that's a okay? log. That's a log.
That's a log. Okay, so now a hin is 12 log. Okay, so then chatzi hin is 6 log. Shlishit hin is 4. Revi'id hin is 3 log. Log, v'chatzi log, v'revi'id log. Okay, and then we have a log itself, then we have a half a log, and then we have a quarter of a log. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok omer, shnatot hayu behin. The hin, there was one big hin measuring cup, like here, right? We have a two-cup measuring cup, and there's little notches by, you know, how much? So that's what he says. There were notches by the hin. Ad kan lapar, right? It's almost, you wonder if it said par ayel keves, or it said revi'id shlishit and chatzi, right? That, in other words, remember, it's chatzi hahin lapar. Okay, what is this for, by the way, if you don't remember? The wine libations that went with the korbanot. So if you brought a par, it was chatzi hin. If you brought a ayel, it was a revi'id. And if you brought a keves, it was a shlishit and for the aisle and a revi'id. I wrote this all, by the way, just to make it clearer. Okay, on the second chart on the page, okay, the hin, we'll see in a minute that the hin, the only thing the hin was used for was the shemen hamishcha, which was to create the shemen hamishcha. There's no other hin mentioned in the Torah that you actually need a hin for anything. So we're going to get back to this. Maybe we'll just go through the second chart right now. It'll help you before we learn it. Chatzi hin was used for the yayin, okay, not just... It was both for the wine libation that went with the sacrifice of the par and the oil that went in the mincha. Okay? Both of those, the measure was a chatzi hin. For the ayil, it was the shlishit hayim, for the wine and the oil. The keves, it was the revi'it hayim. Then we get to log v'mechta, which we haven't yet mentioned. We'll get to that soon. But if you need a log, what's a log v'mechta used for? The Minchat Chavitina, the Kohen Gadol, we're actually going to see that you actually need multiple measuring things for. Because the Minchat Chavitin, we already talked about this yesterday, got first was all measured, then it got split up. Altogether, there's 3 log of shemen in it. Okay, we'll see why in a minute. So each log, 3 log, was then split into 2, 1.5, 1.5. And then each of those were split into 6 for each of the 6 loaves, and that gets you to a revi'id. Right, the revi'it times 6 is going to be 1.5. So for each of the loaves, you needed to measure a revi'it hahin of yayin. Remember yesterday we talked about that they would split the loaves and then add the shemen? It was a little unclear exactly when, at what point they would split them and at what point would they add the shemen. After they were already prepared, or would they add the shemen before? Would they split up the flour, the solet, into 6 sections and then add the oil and knead them? Or was it already prepared with the water and then, you know, the loaves were kind of made and then they poured the shemen on top? But either which way, you need a revi'it log for each loaf. But you also, in theory, the assumption is that first you measure the 3 log of shemen because you wanted to sanctify all the shemen. Then you split it into 2, into these 1.5 logs. And then you split it down into the quarters. So if you notice in our Mishnah, it doesn't appear, this log v'mechza, that there was such a thing. So according to the Tan of our Mishnah, how would they measure out the log v'mechza? In other words, they would take the 3 and then they'd split it into half, right? Either 3 half logs or 1 log and a half log. Okay, I was reminded of this. My daughter bakes a lot. So at some point she was so excited, she found in a store a 3/4 cup measuring cup, right? It was like a dry measuring thing. It was fun. Yeah, it's like, oh, great, you know, 3/4 or 2/3, you know, instead of having to do 1/3 and 1/3 or 3/4 and a, you know, or 1/4 and 1/2. It's like nice to have 3/4. So that's the debate here. Did they have 1.5, a log v'mechta, or did they use a combination? Okay. So let's continue on our list. Log was used for the shemen, for the mincha offerings, right? We always talk about an isaron and a log. of shemen. Chatzi log was used for the water for the sota. If you remember, they dissolve the text in water, right? And then she has to drink it. The shemen, the oil for the lachmei todah, for the chametz ones, was a half a log. Also, it was a half a log for the other set, right? Remember, there was the set of 30, and then those would split into a quarter for the chalon and rikikim, and a quarter for the ribucha. So that's like both a quarter and a chatzi log. So I didn't actually put them in here. The other ones didn't. I didn't put in the rivi'it section, but they kind of go in both. The shemen for the menorah, we're going to see, was a half a log. The rivi'it log was used for the water for the mitzorah. Okay, first you have to shecht a bird in the beginning of the process and pour the blood into a cup of water. And the assumption is we want it to be enough water that when the blood drops in, it'll be noticeable, like that kind of amount. So they say that that amount is a rivi'it. The rikikim and the chalof for the nazir, you brush them with a quarter of a log, just like the rikikim and the chalot for the lachmei todah. And the mincha chavitina, the kohen gadol, as we said, each of the loaves needed a rivi'it of a log. So that's what all these measurements are for. That just gives you some background, and it'll help us for later in the daf. So now comes, so he says, Shnatot Yubahin, ad kan lapar, ad kan la'ayil, ad kan la'keves. He doesn't say anything about the log. I don't know why he doesn't think the log was like that, so I'm assuming that's why I put it in the chart, even though he doesn't say so. I assume when it came to the log, he had a log, a chatzi log, and a revi'it log. I didn't check if anybody thinks that his log also looked like that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hayasham hin. He says there is no hin measuring cup because you don't really need it for anything. V'chi ma'ayahin mishamesh. We're going to get into the details later. Do you need it? Do you not need it? But v'chi ma'ayahin mishamesh. In other words, what was the point of it? What did they need it for? Remember, it was only used to make the Shemen HaMishcha. The Shemen HaMishcha was prepared once by Moshe, and that was it. There was this miracle that it lasted for whatever it was needed for. And therefore, they didn't need it. Ela mida yitera shalog v'mechza itasham. Okay, so he claims it was a log v'mechza. Okay, like that three-quarter measuring cup, right? He says we had a log v'mechza. Sheba haya modeh l'minchat kohen gadol, log v'mechza baboker, log u'mechza bein harbaim. Right, the half that was needed for the morning and the half that was needed for the evening or the afternoon. And therefore, he had this extra measuring cup. Tanu Rabbanah. Now we're going to have a braita with more opinions. Sheva midot shalach hayu b'mikdash. Rivi'it log v'chatzi log. This is going to be just like, this is the opposite of our Mishnah. This is the same like our Mishnah, but reverse order. You might think, who cares? But we're going to see in the Braita, they set it up. One opinion goes from smallest to largest. One opinion goes from largest to smallest. But there's no difference in terms of what they have listed here. And that's why when I put our Mishnah on this chart here, I added that it's the name of Rabbi Meir, because we're going to see Rabbi Meir starts with the hin, but the opinion we're going to see right now is Rabbi Yehuda's. Okay, so if you can follow on the chart also. Sheva midot shalach hayu b'mikdash. Rivi'it log, v'chatzi log, v'log. Rivi'it hayin, shlishit hayin, v'chatzi hayin, v'hin. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So it matches the Tanakam in our Mishnah, but reverse order. Rabbi Meir Omer, exactly like our Mishnah, hin v'chatzin, u'shlishit hin, hayin, v'rivi'it hayin, v'log, v'chatzi log, u'rivi'it log. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, okay, that's like our in the Mishnah also, lo haya shamhin, v'chima haya hin mishamesh, et mi avi tachtav, and that's right, and that's, what was the point of the hin, what was it mishamesh, and therefore they ask, et mi avi tachtav, so what am I going to put instead of it? Ela midai teira shalog v'mechta itasham, shebo haya moded l'chavitei kohen gadol, okay, that we would measure the 1.5 for the kohen gadol. Again, remember, you really measured it in 3, you wonder why he didn't think it was important to have a 3 log. If in theory you have to first measure in a 3 log and then split it into 1.5, why didn't you think you needed a 3 log? But I guess that's because there was a Masoret that there were 7 and it was going to be one or the other. Why he chose this is a question. And then log b'mechza baboker log u'mechza ben ha'arbayim. Amru lo chatzi log haitasham ve'efshar l'sha'er b'chatzi log. That's why I said presumably they used the half a log and not 1.5. Because here they tell him, what do you mean? There was a chatzi log, and you can do 1.5 very easily by using chatzi logs, just like the 3 log, you can use 3 logs, right? 3 1 logs to measure it. Amar lahem, af l'divrechem, so he says to them, according to you then, if you can just measure everything by, you know, get to 1.5 by 3 halves, so then take that farther, and we could say, Rafli de Brechem, Chatzilog, Belog, Lo Yase, Lo yaseh, then you don't need a chatzi log or a log, because what can you do? Rivi'it haitasham, v'efshar l'she'er b'rivi'it. He says to him, if that's your argument, that you don't need a log v'mechtzeh, you don't need a log. You don't need a half a log. You can just do a lot of quarter logs and get to any measurement you want by that. Ela zehaklal, zehaklal hayaba mikdash. This is the klal that was in the mikdash. Kli shemeshamesh midah zo, eino meshamesh midah acheret. So comes... He comes and basically says, Rabbi Shimon, if there was something, right, each kli measured only what that kli was for. You couldn't use half logs to measure to get to 1.5 logs. Okay, again, the question left for him is, what do you do with the 3 log of the Minchat Chavitin? Maybe he thought that you didn't measure it all at once, although it seems that I think there is agreement that you measured all at once. So anyway, we're left with a bit of a question about that. Okay. Now we're going to get to my Ika Bein Rabbi Meir le Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have a strange machloket. We've never really seen anything like this before, I don't think, which is they both agree about what the different measurings were. It's just a matter of how they order them. Do we go from largest to smallest measuring cup, or do we go from smallest to largest? So what's really the difference between them? So we're going to have two opinions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Berutze Midot Ika Bein Ayu. Okay, what do we have? What's the difference between them? The overflow. Okay, there's a bit of a debate about what we mean by the overflow. Does the overflow, generally, when we talked about the overflow, we talked about this just yesterday about you would heap up the dry measurements. Now, in a liquid measuring cup, you don't really have that, because if it's overflowing, then it spills out. So that's why some people still say we're talking about a little bit that's overflowing, like a teeny bit that sits at the very top. You could have a little bit sitting at the top. But most opinions say that we're talking about stuff that starts dripping on the sides, because that's what happens. If it overflows, it's dripping on the sides. So the question is, Lamanda Amar Mimata Lamala, if you say that the order was from the Mata Limala, Kasavar Beirutse Midot Nitkadshu. Okay, he holds that anything that once it was, kind of poured into the cup and starts overflowing, the cup sanctifies it. That's the whole debate. Is the stuff dripping down the sides kodesh or not? Because remember, all of these are klei sharet we're talking about. So they sanctify what's inside them. So is the stuff that's kind of overflowing over the edges, is that sanctified or not? Now, what does this have to do with anything? So, and it has this have to do with the opinion of Mimata Lamala? Urivi'i Yahiv Le'Rachmana Lemoshe. What did God teach Moshe? He taught him what a revi'i was. He took the smallest measuring cup. Let's just assume for all intents and purposes that what I have here I'm holding in my hand. Okay, but I did, for those listening online, you could do this at home. I took 2 measuring cups that one fits inside the other, like nesting cups, okay? So if you take the smaller one, and assuming this is what God gave Moshe, he says, this is a revi'i. From here, you're going to make all the other cups, okay? So now, if you hold that what's dripping on the sides is sanctified, what's going to happen when you take your rivi'it and you pour it into the bigger cup? What's going to happen to all the stuff you can view as I'm doing it? All the stuff that's dripping on the sides is going to go into the next cup. So when you now have your chatzi halog, you're going to measure it determined on, based on what was in this cup, which is actually going to be a little more than a rivi'it hahin. So if you're going from smallest to largest, you're going to end up, if the Beirutzei Midot are sanctified, then you're going to end up with a little bit, your chatzi log is going to be a little greater than a chatzi log. We're going to see these measurements ended up not exactly exact, because it sanctified whatever was in the original cup, which means you're now going to have a drop more than a revi'it halog. And then when you pour from the next one into the next one, you're going to end up with a little bit more. So each of the measurements are going to end up a little bit larger than they actually are. And that's because Beirutzei Midot are sanctified, according to this opinion. So,
there will be a little less because some will be remaining in the little cup when you pour it into the bigger cup and remaining.
And it does not come.
They're assuming that you're going to get everything out. They're assuming that when Moshe measured it, he waited till every drop came out. That's the assumption. And maybe even if you say there's a little drop left in, that's going to be less than the stuff that's pouring down the sides. That's their assumption. Again, this isn't the most convincing, and that's why there's going to be another opinion. Okay. So now, what does he say? So let's keep going. So he taught Moshe and said, Sha'er, deka'ai le'lehu beirutzin, right? And then the extra stuff is going to go in. Lemanda amar mimala lamata kasavar beirutzei midot lo nitkachu. He's going to say the beirutzei midot are not sanctified. V'hin yahiv le'rachmana le'moshe. He started with the hin because that was where God gave Moshe a hin. He said, this is a hin, which is 12 log, remember? Now measure everything from there. So take half of it, pour it into the next cup. Now what happens to the Beirut Sami goat when I pour from the bigger cup into the smaller cup? You can see the edges of this kli don't go into, right? They fall to the sides. The edges of this kli end up outside the kli. So they're going to say, since Beirut Sami goat aren't sanctified, we don't want those to, right? We don't want those in the measuring cup. So therefore, he started with the larger and from there got into the smaller. We went down in levels. Okay? So, v'hin yav le'rachmana le'moshe, v'amar she'er baha, right? Measure everything based on these. De'kanaf ke be'rutin, and then the be'rutin fall out of the sides and they're not included. Okay, that's the first opinion. Abai amar, so then they have a big nafkamina whether anything on the sides of the kli are sanctified or not. That's a big, important nafkamina because things generally do fall on the sides, and then how do we treat them? Abai amar, de'kulei alma be'rutzot, in other words, either opinion can say, yes, they were sanctified or no, they weren't sanctified. That's not their machloket. Their machloket is about mile'im. What is this mile'im? Okay, if you remember Parshat Naso, we read over and over again all the things that the Nisi'im brought to the Beit HaMikdash, right? The Chanukah HaMishkan. It says, "V'korbanot karat kesef achat shloshim u'me'ah mishkalah mizrak achad kesef shivim shekel b'shekel l'kodesh shnehem mile'im solet b'lulah b'shem l'mincha." They're all full of solet for the mincha. What does it mean, mile'im? Okay, so now they have a machloket about how we view this word mile'im. What does that mean? So he says, "Manda amar milamala lamata kasavar mile'im." Shelo yechsar v'shelo yotir. Okay, one way of understanding this is that Abai agrees with the general premise of the previous case, which was of the previous argument, which was Moshe, God gave Moshe one kli and said, from here make all the others. And then the question is, do we want it to be exact? So if you go milamala lamata, then you want it to be very exact. So if you start with a big kli, right, how do you get it? In general, why would I measure a cup at home? If I'm measuring a cup of liquid, okay, let's use liquid because that's what we're talking about, I'm better off measuring one cup than measuring four quarter cups because I'll get a more accurate measurement. So if you want to get the exact accurate measurement, start large and then start splitting it up into smaller kelim. Umanda amar mimata lamala, mile'im shelo yechsar aval yotir. Also, okay, there's a few different interpretations given also. Some people say if you're pouring from larger to smaller, okay, now look, if I'm pouring from the small kli, this is why these are helpful to use cups to visualize. If I pour from the smaller cup into the larger cup, I don't have to be so careful because it's clearly going to all end up inside. So if I'm not so careful, what's going to happen? Sometimes you end up with like a froth, you know, it bubbles up and then it ends up, right, not exact. But when I pour from the smaller to the larger to the smaller, I have to be very careful because if I'm not careful with how I pour, I have to pour very slowly. If I pour very slowly, it's not going to froth up as much. So that's another interpretation given as to why, if you need the exact measurement, you're going to go from the larger to the smaller.
Yeah. Then when you're dealing with oil, because it sticks to the sides, you lose some every time you, like if you're pouring.
Right. So then you have to worry about what you're losing. Right. It's true. You're going to lose in any, but that's going to be in either direction. In either direction, you're going to end up with a loss. So it would end up more in one way or not, right? It's a good question.
But you're much more precise when you're going into the smaller one because then you measure exactly.
Right, that's what they're saying, that you're going to get much more precision this way. By the way, Moshe, this is only when Moshe was coming up with the kelim, right, to figure out. So if that's the case, he didn't necessarily use oil. He used water, which probably all, you know, is easier to get all of the water out than the oil. This was just how Moshe created the kelim. Some people explain this isn't talking about Moshe creating the kelim, and this is a different way of understanding, but we'll stick with this for right now. So then, umanda amar mimata lamala, mele'im shelo yachsar aval yotir. Right? So, in other words, it didn't have to be exact. It had to be at least minimum, but it could have been a little bit more, and therefore, from the smaller to the larger, it could be we'd end up with extra, and that's okay. So then they say, mele'im, right, and that's why mile'im krina be. He says mile'im means full, right? Full, you generally mean full could be even more full than full, right? Amar mar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, I didn't skip something, right? No, okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hayasham hin. So now they say, Shavir Kram with Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan, right? They have a good claim. They say, what do you need a hin for in the Beit HaMikdash? There was no need for it. Rabbanan, have a hin to Ava Moshe l'shem en HaMishcha. No, the hin was used for Moshe when he created the Shem en HaMishcha. Dichtiv, as it says, v'shem en zayit hin. When it talks about what has to go into the Shem en HaMishcha, it says, Shem en zayit hin, hin of Shem en zayit. So what's the machloket? Mar savar kevan de lidorot lo habat sarich, lefisha ahu de avde v'ignaz. So Rabbi Shimon holds that since you needed it forever, I'm sorry, since you didn't need it forever, right? You only need it for that one-time thing. So they made it for a one-time thing, and then they put it in the Geniza, right? It was never used again. V'idach kevan de hava hava. Right? Chachamim say, since it was already in existence, it was in existence. So what, you're going to gonez it? You don't need to be gonez it. It existed. It's true we don't need it anymore, but we had it, and therefore we keep it. Amar mar ve'emi avitach tav. So what will I bring in its place? Lo sagya de lo ma'ayu. Why did he have to say, so instead of the chatzi, instead of the hin, what am I going to put instead of it? What am I going to claim? Which kli took its place? So why don't you just say, right? So there were six. So they say, I already told you this, but Kedama Ravina Gemire, Ravina says we have a masoret, that shtei smichopet zibor, there's two korbanot zibor that you do smichan. Hachanami Gemire desheva midot shel lach hayu b'mikdash. So as he said, there were two smichot b'tzibor, and also we're going to assume that there were sheva midot of lach b'mikdash. In other words, there was a masoret, a very ancient masoret, that this was the way it was. There were seven, and just the debate was, right, this is very common, where something was passed down, but exact details of it weren't necessarily passed down so clearly, and therefore there was a debate about which the seven, but the fact that there were seven, nobody disagrees with. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok Omer Shnatot Ayubahin. So now, according to him, there were these notches in the hin, right, or lines, or whatever it was, right? La'aya, la'par, la'keves. So, what about him? Belately, sheva midot, right? So, what do you mean? He didn't have sheva midot? So, they say, lately. Yeah, in fact, maybe even though we say this was this masoret that everyone agreed with, apparently he disagreed with the masoret, okay? He didn't think there were seven. That's one answer. V'bayitema, my sheva. My sheva midot, sheva mididot. Maybe he meant not that there were seven separate kelim that were used, but there were seven measurements used. Okay, and therefore he said there were the measurements of the shlishidayin, the rabiidayin, right? Those were all measurements, but they weren't necessarily separate kelim. Okay, now we're going to get into, even though I kind of gave you the sneak preview of this to make things make more sense earlier, but now we're going to get into what were each of these used for. So the Mishnah starts out, Rivi'it mai tamashameshet, Rivi'it mayim lemitzora. Okay, that was the amount of water they needed for the mitzora to put the blood from the shechted bird inside. Rivi'it shemen lenazir, the shemen for the chalot and the rikikim of the nazir. Chatzilog mahayam shamesh. Okay, notice, it doesn't say everything here. It didn't say the mincha chavitin or the kohen gadol, okay? And it didn't talk about either the lachmei todah. Chatzi log mayim lesota, the chatzi log shemen letoda. Okay, also one's missing here. They don't yet talk about the shemen for the menorah. Soon we'll get to that. So the chatzi log was used for the water for the sota, right, that she's supposed to drink, and the half log of shemen for the korban todah. For the lachmaniot, right, of the korban todah, remember, the chametz ones got a half a log, and the matzah ones got a half a log, right? The non-chametz ones, and then again, the half log was split into the two quarter logs. Ubelog hayam oded l'chol ha-menachot. Okay, all the menachot you use the log measuring for. We're going to see exactly what that means. Okay, we're going to now say, afilu mincha shel shishim isaron. Okay, why did they bring this as an example? Who remembers? 60 se'ah was the amount. That if you hold that the kli kodesh is mekadesh, even the godesh, right, the overflow, the kli that was in the Beit HaMikdash that they used for the solet could fit, that most it could fit was 60 isaron. Remember it says balul bashemen, and even though you can't actually mix it because the whole thing's going to spill over, right, but if potentially it could be mixed, right, they say shishim isaron is the amount that could potentially be mixed, right, even if you don't mix it, that's the amount that could be potentially mixed without it all spilling over. In other words, that was what could fit into the clay kodesh, the clay sharet. And therefore, the largest mincha you could bring would be 60 isaronim. Now, what if you said, why would you bring, generally we say, a mincha is an isaron with a log of shemen. So now we're going to learn that if you bring, let's say you say, I'm going to bring a mincha, that's 60 esronim. So then you have to bring a mincha, that's 60 esronim. You could in theory say, I'm dedicating a mincha, that's, right, as long as you do it in multiples of esronot, right, you could do it. What if you say, I'm bringing a mincha of 61 esronim? So you could do that, but what you would have to do is mix 60 esronim of solet in one kli, and then you'd have to do the other one separate. Okay, you can't put more than 60 in the kli. So now they say, okay, so now the assumption is, if you have 60 esronim, how many logim of shemen are you going to need? 60, right? If it's an isaron per log. So, afilu mincha shel 60 isaron, noten la 60 log. In other words, you would put 60 log, and how would you measure the 60 log? You would use your one log measuring cup, and you would use it 60 times. Bit of a headache, right? Not so pleasant, but that's, right, there's only a log, so that's what you're going to use. What else could you have used? What would be a better way of doing it? Well, the hin is 12 logs, so why don't you use 5 hin? So they say no, because the log was meant for measuring menachot, and therefore you have to use that instead of using the 5 of the hin, you have to use 60 of the log. Okay, that's the chidush. Now we're going to have a much simpler solution according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, afilu mincha shel 60 isaron, ein la ela loga, shenemar, la mincha v'log shemen. Okay, he says, the pasuk says, okay, let's read the whole pasuk. V'im dalhu ve'en yado maseget. Remember, if you can't afford it, v'lakach keves echad asham l'tufa l'chaper alav v'yisaron solet echa balu b'shemen l'mincha v'log shemen. Okay, because it says v'log shemen, even though the pshat is we're talking about an yisaron and a log, but somehow he darshens this and he says a mincha always needs a log shemen, no matter how many esronim of solet, which becomes something very interesting. If you bring a mincha with 60 esronim, it's going to be much, 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 much drier than your one isaron per log, because you're going to end up, according to him, you never need to measure 60 log. It's always one log of shemen. It doesn't matter how many. When you say I'm bringing 60 esronim, you're only relating to how much solet. You don't have to change the amount of oil, which is interesting. So the machlokes tanaim about what you would do in that kind of case. Shisha lapar v'arba'a la'ayu shlasha lakeves. Right now we get to the other measurements. So 6 log, which is really, right, the chatzihin, is for the par, the arba'a, la'ayl, the shalsha, la keves. Remember, this is for the measurements of the wine for the libations and the oil for the mincha that goes along with it. Right, those minachot have different measurements. They're not the same as the log that we saw before. Shloshava mechtza le'menorah. Okay, you need 3.5 log for the menorah. How do we get to 3.5? Hatzi log l'chol ner. Okay, you need a half a log. Now we get back to the half a log, even though it didn't say it then. Now we're getting to it, that you need a half a log for each candle or oil holder in the menorah. Which then, obviously, because it's 7, comes out to 3.5 log. Yativ Rebbe v'kakashile. Okay, Rebbe was sitting down and he starts questioning. Revi'it lama nimshecha, or lama nimshecha. Okay, the assumption, or right, it's lama nimshecha or lima, I guess it could be either, which is for what purpose or why, right, it's almost the same thing, was it anointed? In other words, what would they do? They would turn these kelim into clay kodesh. How does something become a clay sharet? You put the shemen hamishcha in it. Once you put the shemen hamishcha, it becomes a kli that can sanctify something. So he says, what does the revi'it need to sanctify? E mitzor, in other words, look at what the revi'it is used for. Nothing in that list needs to be sanctified. Why? Because each of the things that go in there become sanctified at a different stage, either previously or after. Okay, let's go through. The mitzorah, where would they take the water from? E mitzorah chutzu. Okay, all the acts of dealing with the water of the mitzorah were done in Shaar Nikanor and not in the Azara. So nothing gets sanctified outside the Azara. So it obviously doesn't need to be sanctified. V'i nazir, lechem nazir b'shchitat ayil hu dekadish. Remember we talked about this, that when things go with bread, right, when you slaughter the animal, that's mekadesh the bread. So it's not the oil that is mekadesh the bread, that the oil becomes sanctified, and then when you put in the kli, and then it sanctifies the bread, you know, that you're making, the mincha offering. No, the breads become sanctified only when you slaughter the ayil. So therefore, it's not supposed to sanctify the oil. Ella Amar Rabbi Chiya, Sheba haya moded l'chavitei kohen gadol revi'it shemen l'chol chala v'chala. They would measure for the chavitei kohen gadol, the revi'it shemen for each chala, and that would be the what the revi'it is for. If you remember, when I read you the Mishnah, I pointed out that he doesn't have the mincha chavitina, the kohen gadol, here. Okay? Why doesn't he have it? He obviously kind of left it out, right? In other words, he didn't realize. And only after this conversation with Rabbi Chiya did he realize, oh, this should be there. Now, some people say, why didn't Rabbi fix his Mishnah later? Some people say, one of the answers given is because the Mishnayot were already like, people had memorized them and he didn't want to mess people up if he added something back, right? Or maybe he did and it didn't make it. You know, it's a good question as to why he didn't then re-add that. But he says the reason is that oil needs to be sanctified. That's when the Chavitei Kohen Gadol gets sanctified by putting the Shemen in each of the Kelim, when they split it up. Kare Ale, so now Rebbe says about Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya originally came from Bavel, and he says to him, Me'eretz merchat ish atzati. Okay, it's a pasuk from Yeshayahu, and he's saying, right, and it's the person of my Eitzah, the wise man, comes from afar. Okay, he says, thank you for being, you know, we're going to have a few of these today, so we could talk about them after. But, you know, he says, wow, it's good you came. Chatzi log mahayam shemesh. Okay, what was the chatzi log for? Yativ Rebbe v'kakashile. Again, he has the same question. Chatzi log lama nimshach. Why did you put the shemen hamishcha? In other words, I want to be very clear about this. You still would need the measuring cups to measure all the things we said. You just wouldn't need it to have become a kli sharet that sanctifies something. So it didn't need Shemen HaMishcha, according to Rabbi, until Rabbi Chiya taught him, oh no, it's for the Menchat Chavitin. So now he asked, what about the Chatzilog? Why did you have that Nimshach? Isota, okay, if it's for the Sota waters, where'd they get the Sota water from? Anybody remember or know? They've got it from the Kiyur. From the Kiyor in the Mikdash, which was already sanctified. So the water is coming from a place that's already holy water. Right? Normally, you take something chulin, you take your solet, and you put it in the bowl, and that sanctifies it. Or you take, right? All these things you take, and you sanctify it. This wasn't chulin that needs sanctification. Mayim kedoshim k'tiv. Calls it mayim kedoshim. Okay, that's what it says in the pasuk. It says, v'lakach ha-kohen, mayim kedoshim kli cheres. Okay, the mayim kedoshim came from the Kiyor. Itoda, if you want to say, right, this is why I put a chart. You can kind of follow all the things that we said you need the chatzilog for. If it's for the lachmei todah, right, the shemen for the lachmei todah, so what's the problem? B'shchita todah u'dekache. Just like with the nazir, these become sanctified when you shech the animal that you're bringing for your korban todah. So again, it doesn't get sanctified in the klei sharet. Amalei Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi, so now his son tells him, Shebo haya mechalek chatzilog shemen, L'chol ner v'ner. Okay? They would use it for the Nero to sanctify the Shemen to go in the menorah. Amar lo, so now what does he say to him? Instead of the comment he made before about Me'eretz Merchak Ishatzati, what does he say? Ner Yisrael, Amar lo Ner Yisrael Kachaya. Okay? He says, I think there's a different nusach here. Ner Yisrael, Sha'atam Me'irinei Chachamim, right? Ner Yisrael. Kachaya, okay, he says, you are my candle, you know, you're my bright light, that you're my shining light, that you told me this, right? He's obviously a pun, play on words, because he taught him about the ner. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi. Ner shekavta, okay, now, because we're talking about the ner, now we get all off on a tangent about the menorah. Ner shekavta, so what if the candle goes out? Okay, nidashen hashemen, or the shemen gets all like full of ashes, nidashna ptila, or the wick gets all filled with ashes and isn't working anymore. Ketzado se mitiva v'notem b'shemen u'madlika. Okay, so what do? You kind of clean it out, and then you put new oil and you light it. Now, first of all, there's a big question: how would you figure out that the candles went out, because the Kohanim only went into the Echal certain times of day, and then, you know, most of the time they wouldn't have noticed. Okay, there's a whole interesting footnote in the Koran about it. Okay. But about what exactly the reality is here, how they're figuring out that the candle went out, at what point we're talking about. Maybe we're talking about the Ner Maravi, that when they go in to fix the others and they turn out that one was already out when it's not supposed to be. There's different opinions given. Okay, but anyway, what do you do? Okay, so you clean it out and you put shemen and you light it. Yatif Rabbi Zreik Ava Kamei Ba'ilei. So now there's a big question asked. Kishehu notem ba shemen kimida rishona o kimosha chasra. So now we have a big debate. The shemen was lit for a while. You need a chatzi log of shemen in each of the candles. But now, it went out at some point. So now you have to redo it. So now how much oil do you put in? Do you put in just the amount of oil it was missing? Or do you put in a half a log again? I'm a Rabbi Yirmiyah. It's interesting. You would think that was like a Rabbi Yirmiyah question. Interesting, the Rabbi Yirmiyah answers it. Pshita de kimida rishona. It must be that you put in a chatzi log again. Why? De'i kemasha chasra. If you want to say it's whatever was missing, how is he going to know to measure exactly how much was missing? Okay, it's going to be complicated. And if you want to say maybe he'll just estimate, he'll measure it, If you want to say he'll measure it, imkein sheva midot, nefeshle midot tuva. So he says, but then you need more measuring cups to be able to measure precisely. You know, you need to kind of take the oil out, measure exactly what there was, and then measure exactly how much oil needs to go in. We don't have a measuring cup for that, right? Well, according to this, right, we don't have measuring cups like nowadays with notches all over that you can be very exact about measuring. This was that, that was that. You know, you're not going to get your exact measure. So if you're going to assume that, there must have been a lot more midot tovot. And therefore, it must be that the only thing we have is a chatzi log. You fill it up with a chatzi log. So Rabbi Zreika had the question, Kari Ale, just like Rabbi made these comments about everybody else. He says about him, Bahadarchat Salach, right, it's a pasuk from Tehillim, Bahadarchat Salach Rechav Al Dvar Emet Panavat Tzedek V'Truchan Oraot Yimincha. So what does he say? That your sharp thinking, they say Hadarcha is like Chidudcha, okay? Your sharp mind brought you to the truth. Okay, that's what brought you your answer by thinking about it. Itmar Nami, Amarabi. So now we can see we got there because the whole thing was about the midot, right? That was the connection. Besides, we were talking about candles, but it then connected back to these midot. Now we're going to get off about this topic that we were talking about. Itmar Nami was also said, Amarabi Abba, Amarabi Yochanan, Vamrila, Amarabi Abba, Amarabi Chanina, Amarabi, Ner Shekavta, or Nidashena Shemen, or Nidashna Paptila, Ketzad Osem, Mitiva, Venotem Bashemen, Kimidari Shona Madlika. So there you have it. He says the exact same thing as Rabbi Yirmiyah said. Here we say it was said even in the name of Rabbi before Rabbi Yirmiyah that, right, obviously Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't know that Rabbi said it, but now they say in the name of Rabbi that you put Kimida Rishona. Amarav Huna Bered Rav Yehuda Amarav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet, they say in the name of Rav Sheshet that what? Ner Sheba Mikdash Shel Prakim Haya. Okay, remember the menorah had to be Mikshachat. It had to be one solid piece of gold. Today we're going to learn about, was the whole thing solid gold? Which parts were solid, right? One piece. It didn't come apart. So he says, the nair, the top part where the candle was in, had to be bendable. You know, I think about those cups that, when I was little, we used to go to camp and take those crushable cups, you know, that you could like pick up and then crush down. You know, it had to be somehow movable because it didn't detach. It was all one whole piece. But yet, it had to be able to be removed to clean it out. Because we just said, right, if it gets all messed up, you have to clean it out, right? Obviously, they cleaned it out, right? Anyone who lights Hanukkah candles with oil and doesn't use those easy-to-use things, right? Why'd they make those easy-to-use oil things? Because it's very messy and you have to clean them out and it's a big mess. So, he says it must have been Shel Prakim. Kasavar, so he must hold the Kiktiv Kikar Umiksha. When it says it has to be Kikar, it says about the menorah, Kikar Zahav Tahor Yaseuta. Et kol hakelim ha'ele, and it also says miksha te'aseh ha'menorah. So when it says that, a menorah v'nero te'aktiv. In other words, there's a debate. Was it just said about the menorah itself, but not about the cups that sat on top that the oil went into? Or did it say it about the whole thing, that the nerot and the menorah were all one piece? So he must hold it was all one piece. And v'kevan de'mibaya hatavan, since you need to clean it out, ilav de'prakim ha'ave lo ha'ave mitayvale. You wouldn't be able to clean it out. Okay, so therefore he claims it must be shel prakim. Meitive. So now they ask a question about this. Ketzad hayah oseh misalkan u'menicham ba'oel u'mikancham b'sfog. So now it says in this braita, what would you do? You would take the nerot off. That seems to contradict what he said. Right? He thinks it's all one piece. You can't take something off. It's all one piece. And you would leave them in the oil and you would clean them out with a svog, right? First sort of sponge, right? Some sort of sponge-like thing. And then you put them back and you fill them up with shemen and you relight them. So what are the answer? Ah, that bright, Uda Amar Kiai Tana. That bright was like a different Tana. Detanya Chachamim Omrim, Lo Hayu Mezizino Tamim Koma. Chachamim said they would never move it. Okay? It always stayed in its place. So now, first of all, they say, Michlaldi Baile Lo Zuzei. Lo Hayu Mezizin sounds like you could have, potentially you could, but they weren't. They wouldn't. So they stop the bright in the middle to say, what are you talking about? And then they say, matze mazizle, could they really move it? Lo, ela ema lo haitazaza mimkoma. Okay, it was never moved. Okay, so there's two different opinions. In other words, the opinion we saw earlier holds like Chachamim who said the menorah never moved and they wrote either. Okay, whereas, and that's why it was done prakim. But the other Tana we saw has a different opinion. Uman Chachamim, and who is the Shitab Chachamim? Rabbi Elazar, who Detanya Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Kimim Tash Shal Zahav Hayala Al Gaba. Okay, look at the picture here. Okay, if you don't have a picture in front of you, go online and you can find a picture of the menorah. There were these gold, solid gold pieces that sat on top. If you notice, it's not open. There's these flat pieces at the very top of the menorah. They would move that piece, right? That would kind of protect, you know, cover up the oil. They would move it aside. Right? And they would, you know, and then after he put the shemen, he would then put it back down. So you would open it, take out the shemen, clean it out, and then close it. And this is based on this machloka tanaim. Detanya minorav neirotea baot minakikar ve'em malkacheu maktotea minakikar. Okay, when it says kikar zahav tahor yaseu ta, that means the menorah and the neirot. That's the first opinion that we saw that was done by prakim. But the milkachim and the machtotea, those are the what do they call them? The tweezers, the kind of thing, right? How do they translate it here?
Tongs.
The tongs, right? That they would use to pick the wick out and the...
Scoops.
And the what? And the scoops, right? Like a spoon kind of thing that they would use to take out the oil. Those weren't from the same piece of gold, right? Those were separate, obviously. Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Minorai taba minakikar velo neirotel umakachel mektavtel. He thinks that the neirot were not. Okay, so here you see the machloka tanaim about this. What's the root of their machloke? Bahaikra. How they understood this pasuk? Detanya. Kikar zahav tahor yase ota. Lamanu l'minorah. Notice that's in singular. It should be made. So what do they say? That's the menorah. Minayin l'rabot neiroteh. How do you know that it is also the neirot? Talmud lamar. The end of that pasuk. Et kol hakelim ha'ele. Right? All of a sudden it includes something else. All these things are made from the kikar. So if you're going to say all of these kelim, why are you including just neirot? Maybe also the other stuff. Talmud lamar ota. Divrei Rabbi Nechemia. So Rabbi Nechemia says, we learn it from, right? There's singular, there's rabim. That means it includes a little more, but it doesn't include everything. Then, now there's a bit of a problem. Because this is Rabbi Nechemia. What did we say a minute ago? Rabbi Nechemia said, menorai taba min akikar below neiroteha. And here it says, Rabbi Nechemia says, and the neirot. So what do they say? Kashi to Rabbi Nechemiah to Rabbi Nechemiah. So the answer, Trei Tanai Valiba to Rabbi Nechemiah. It's just two Tanaim had a debate about what Rabbi Nechemiah actually held, whether he was the one who held this or he was the one who held the opposite. Okay, we'll end with this. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korchomer. Now we're back to the Braita. That was like a break to say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Now we're going to see the second opinion. Only the menorah and the neirot were separate pieces. Teaches you, Shayu Kelim Shal Zahav. Okay, they say, it's to teach you, all those kelim are also made of gold, not the same piece of gold. Okay, because there's two things. There's kikar zahav and miksha, but then there's just zahav. So they're made of gold. So then they say, what do you mean? Zahav behediktivo. But it already says, basita nerotah shiva ve'ela nerotah ve'ira lever paneha. And there it says that it was also zahav. Where does it say it? Ve'ira lever paneha. Umakocheh umachtoteh. It doesn't say here. Umakocheh umachtoteh zahav tahor. It already says that the Malkacheh Machtoteh is afterwards. So why do you need that extra thing to include that it was Zahav? Lo nitzracha ela lepinei rot. It's for the top part by the candle. Sakata tachamina hu ilu pinei rot ashkure mashkar. Hatarachas alma manash Yisrael v'li avet Zahav kol dehu. Kam mashmalan. Now they're going to say, you might have thought, right, we have this concept of Tarachas alma manash Yisrael. So since that top part is going to get blackened from the flame. So maybe you wouldn't need to do that with Zahav. So therefore, it comes to teach you, even that has to be done Zahav. And here, and now you have to ask the question, I'll leave you with this question, why in some cases is Torah chasal mamonat shel Yisrael? And in this case, the Torah is not chasal mamonat shel Yisrael. And there's all this whole debate, okay, this I'll give you a hint if you want to look it up. The Noda B'Yehuda talks about an answer in his Kuntrus. It's Kuntrus, I forget what it is, one second. In the Madurat Tanina, Kuntrus Acharon Zayin, if you want to look it up, he talks about, he gives a whole list, okay, we don't have time for this, he gives a whole list of things where, Hatarachasa, and things where, what's the other Musad? Ein Aniyu B'Mkom HaShirut, remember? In the Mikdash, things have to be done in a rich, beautiful way. You can't cut corners. But on the other hand, we had all these cases where we say, oh, Hatarachasa, you don't have to bring, you know, the higher level, whatever, and...
Maybe
so,
there's a difference between what's there all the time and what are the tools for doing it.
Yes. So this obviously is something that remains there. You could say the menorah is, you know, the glory. It's a one-time expense also, right? It's not that, you know, maybe this upkeep you have to change it once in a while. But, you know, anyway, it's a good question as to why certain things yes and certain things no, and where we draw the line and which things yes. So leave it with food for thought.